Morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. Now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come into him and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry and was desiring to eat, but while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he beheld the sky opened up and a certain object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. And again a voice came to him a second time, What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you, but arise, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. And Peter went down to the men and said, Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason which you have been for which you have come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. And so he invited them in and gave them lodging. And the next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. And when it came about that Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, Stand up, I too am just a man. And as he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. And so I ask for what reason you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things he did both at the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message, and all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then he asked him to stay on for a few days. Amen. So we talked a little bit about chapter 10 yesterday, and there's a shift that's occurring. Now, this shift is not a New Testament shift, okay? What is happening here is actually something that should have occurred all the way back in Genesis. Do you remember the Abrahamic covenant, right? God chose Abraham to be the father of his people, basically. You know, and he says, I'm going to bless you, right? And you're going to be a blessing to the nations, right? Those who bless you, I'll bless. Those that curse you, I will curse, right? And he basically calls out Abraham as the father of the faith. But the covenant said that I'll bless you and you will be a blessing to everybody around. This was always the design of the faith, right? That salvation will come through one family line in the sense that God had already ordained that Jesus Christ would come, you know, into the earth to save man from their sins. So there's got to be a family line that it comes through. But the faith is not about one family line. You know, it's not about one people. That would be the source. And you can see, you know, the part of that is in that when Jesus comes, then it's going to be even opened up even more. But it was always supposed to be like that, even from the beginning with the Jewish people. You know, and if you go through the Old Testament, you'll notice one of the things that happens continually is that they become insular. They become introspective. It just becomes about them. You know, and so what does God do? God brings persecution, right? God brings disasters and sometimes slavery, you know, in order for them to be spread out. And this is what we call the diaspora, right? To be spread out all over the earth so that the message, right, the blessing in which they're blessed can be, you know, expanded to the people whom they encounter. Now, obviously, you know, plan A would have been for the people of God to share on their own, but God works in plan B and C as well. You know, and so, and this is kind of the history of what's happening through the people here. And so we get to chapter 10, and now a shift has occurred, right? The coming of the Spirit where Joel prophesied, he will now pour out a Spirit upon all flesh, everybody, right? Male, female, young, old, Jew, Gentile. And so even in the early church, this was not yet manifested. And so what does God have to do? And you have to recognize how radical, you know, this teaching is, or this understanding that he wants to give Peter, is that, look, he needs to, first of all, send an angelic visitation to Cornelius, right? He needs to speak, you know, he needs to put Peter in a trance, you know, and then give him a vision. And then even in that, God needs to speak to him particularly to even go with these people, you know, without any misgivings. And so, I mean, you're having like total supernatural phenomena taking place just to convince one man of the possibility of the gospel. You know, and so that's kind of what happens. And so Cornelius is chosen. You know, I'll just share a little thing on Cornelius. You know, he was a man of prayer. Right, he was also a man of generosity. And look what he says in verse 4, fixing his gaze upon him, being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And then the Lord said to him, "Your prayers and alms are gifts of charity, have ascended as a memorial before God." Right, so, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday. Do our prayers make any difference? You know, does our giving make any difference? You know, according to Luke and Acts, it makes a huge amount of difference, right? It says it comes up as a memorial. Paul will use a different kind of description, and he call it a fragrant aroma. You know, and it's like, you know, if you burn like a oil, you know, or a candle, you know, and it's a fragrant candle, and you know, it rises up. You know, and the scripture talk about it rises up as incense before the Lord. You know, and so our prayers, they have an effect. You know, our giving has an effect. It pleases God. You know, in the sense that it comes up to him as a memorial, something, you know, for God to remember, right? And as we pray, it's not like God has a short memory, you know, or has a memory problem. You know, but it's something that, you know, if you can think about it, it just continually comes up in front of the Lord. you know, our prayers, our giving, our generosity, our sacrifice. It just continues to come up. You know, and we want this in our own life, right? You know, have you ever, you know, wanted to date somebody? You know, you always hope that you always come up in their mind, you know, constantly, right? You're always in their face, you know, kind of thing. And I mean, that's a good thing, right? And this is something that, you know, hopefully that this is the opposite effect, and that God comes up in our minds all the time. You know, and what's the precursor to that? It's prayer and it's giving. It's the sacrifice. You know, and they're both sacrifices. One's a sacrifice of time, right, and of our emotional energy. That's what prayer is. You know, and the other sacrifice is also our time, in the sense that, you know, our wages is you know, our time, our effort. You know, and so both of these things are sacrifices that are offered up to the Lord. And so, you know, so this happens. You know, Cornelius, we recognize, wow, what a great guy. The next day, Peter goes onto the housetop, and he's going to the hour of prayer. And as he's praying, right, he gets in a trance, and there's all kinds of creatures, you know. And the Mosaic law, right, tells us that there are certain animals that you cannot eat. They're considered unholy. You know, hoofed animals. I mean, if you look through the Levitical laws, there's all kinds of rules and regulations, even about how to prepare food. And so he comes out there. That's where we get the word kosher from. You know, it's a specifically prepared food and kind of food. And then the Muslim equivalent would be the halal, right? It's kind of the same thing. And so, you know, we're in this place. And so there's all these creatures that were considered unclean. You know, and Peter, growing up as a Jew, he recognized, I'm not supposed to touch those things. And God, right, now a major shift occurs. He says, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. You know, this is a shifting from the law of Moses, right, old covenant, and it's moving into new covenant. Right, and it's a major, you know, theological, I mean, huge shift that's occurring here. You know, but it takes a vision, it takes an angelic visitation to convince Peter that, see, the gospel is for all the nations. You know, and then he finally gets to that point in verse 34, right? He says, oh, now I understand that God is not one to show partiality, but every nation, every ethnos, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him, right? Everyone, you know, in the previous passage, that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of your creed, you know, regardless of your background, you know, the gospel is made available to everyone. He shows no partiality whatsoever. You know, God, you know, and if you think about this, God doesn't pick sides. You know what I mean? It's like, have you ever watched, like, American football games? You know, Americans are very religious, right? They're not necessarily Christian, but they're very religious. You know, and if you watch an American football game, like the Super Bowl or something, and, you know, a playoffs, and, you know, they get down to the wire, and there's a field goal, you know, in other words, the guy's going to kick, and you'll see one group team that's praying to the Lord, Lord, let him make the field goal, let him make the field goal. And there'll be another group of players on their knees praying as well, Lord, let him miss the field goal, let him miss the field goal. You know what I mean? And, you know, and we could very so easily think that God has picked sides. Or, I mean, let's talk about American politics, right? You know, we have the Republican Party, where most people think is God's party, you know, the Tea Party, and, you know, let's go back to the moral values of our forefathers. You know, incidentally, if you're not American, if you are American, our forefathers were not Christians. Our forefathers were deists. All right, so let's take care of that. We'll talk about that another time. You know, and so then you have this whole idea, you know, that's taking place, right? And we think that that's God's party. That's not God's party. Neither are the Democrats God's party, right? God doesn't choose sides, right? You know, God's on God's side. Don't ever forget that. God's on God's side. He's not on your side. He's not on my side. He's on his side. And so what we need to do is get on his side. You know, I mean, just simply, right, align ourselves to God's will and God's purposes. And so he says that every nation, right, who fears the Lord is welcome to him. You know, any country, North Korea, right, if they were to turn their ways, man, they are open, right, you know, are welcome to him. You know, and so he gives this picture, and he says, man, they're holy now. And so he comes down, and so we get the vision from God, the word of the Lord, and now, and now it's the manifestation. And so what happens? He goes down. These men come up, right? A prophetic word. They find, you know, Cornelius. I mean, how do they know that he's at Simon's house? You know what I mean? I mean, this is just crazy coincidences and all these things. Obviously, it's the word of the Lord that's going through because it's such a significant event. I mean, there are miraculous prophetic things going on all at the same time. And so then he goes down to Caesarea. He takes some of the guys in Joppa because now, remember, he just raised someone from the dead. So he's got a crew with him, right? You know, he's now built a little entourage. And so they're traveling with him, you know, and they're all Jews because the word says that they're all circumcised. They come to this place and, you know, they start talking with Cornelius and, you know, and his family, and he's gathered up all his relatives and close friends, right? I mean, you know, this is good stuff, you know, right? Cornelius, man, this guy's a real God-fearing man. He made sure that all of his friends got in on it. You know, he made sure that everyone that was around him, you know, heard the message, right? And you know, on it, we should have the very same concern that Cornelius has. Right, the message that you enjoy, the life that you have in God, you should want every single one of your friends, every single one of your relatives to come to know who this Jesus is. Calls them all together, and then verse 34 on, and the Gentiles, right, hear the good news. Right, now we have Gentile inclusion is now totally manifested in this place. And so he started sharing about Jesus and all these things. And, you know, notice, right, it says verse 44, as while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell, right, on the crowd. I interpreted it a few ways, right? One of the ways is I think Peter should have just been quiet, right? Maybe he should have just prayed, you know. As a preacher, I know what that's like, right? Sometimes I just need to shut up, you know, and just let God do what he needs to do. You know, but, you know, sometimes we go on and on and on, and, you know, other people, not me, but I know other people, right, go on and on and on and stuff like that. And that was a joke, by the way. And so he's speaking, and then the Holy Spirit decides, you know what, I'm going to do what I do. And he comes and he falls on them. The reason why this is significant, I mean, really significant, the coming of the Spirit was always a sign of God's approval. When you look through the Old Testament, you know, when they anointed kings, the Spirit would come upon them. You know, when they anointed the high priest, the Spirit would come upon them. You know, every time, right, there was a transference of leadership or power, the Spirit of God would come. Remember, case in point, remember Saul and David, right? David has chosen the king. He's not legitimately, you know, or kind of ceremonially the king, but what happens, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon David, and so I would suggest to you, yeah, actually, he is the king. You know, that will happen many years later on, but the Spirit of the Lord comes upon, leaves Saul, right, because he's the king, right, the anointing leaves Saul, and now goes to David, right? It was a sign of God's approval. It was a sign of God's leadership, his ownership. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And so these guys that, you know, from Joppa, they came, the circumcised ones, the Jews, when they saw this, they were like, whoa, this is crazy. I mean, it's talk about like a paradigm shift. The Spirit, Holy Spirit falls on them as well. Then you know, they ask the question, you know, surely, right, these need to be baptized as well. You know, I mean, they make point, wow, God's on them. The Holy Spirit fell on these guys, right? And it was a sign of God's hand, his presence, his approval upon the people. You know, and the same phenomena happens, right? These guys would have been familiar with what happened, you know, I mean, probably a few months before, you know, in Jerusalem, where they all begin to speak with tongues of fire. You know, and now the Spirit falls upon them. They start speaking in tongues, start exalting the Lord. You know, and something significant happens, right? And they're like, you know what? These guys are brothers. You know, and then in chapter 11, we see the real formation of the church. You know, actually start in Antioch, where they actually call themselves Christians now, right? And so something significant is happening here, right? It's a major shift. Right, the Holy Spirit now is truly, like Joel said, is upon all flesh. All flesh is included. Everything. When you go through the Gospels and you read about Jesus, You notice that Jesus, he doesn't get mad at, you know, prostitutes and tax collectors and immoral people. You know, that's not who gets his wrath. You know who gets his wrath? It's religious people. Not all religious people. But you know, the kind of religious people that gets God's wrath are the ones that prevent people from knowing God. Time and time again, right? He reserves his fury, you know, for people that are preventing other people, other Jews, other paralytics, other prostitutes, you know, other lame people, you know, other blind people, other demonized people, even though they're Jewish and non-Jewish, it doesn't matter. Anyone, right, that is prevented from hearing the message, right, or prevented from coming before the Lord, right, he gets upset. He gets angered, right? He goes crazy. You know, I mean, you heard me preach about Solomon's porch, you know, and what the portico of Solomon, and when they're, you know, doing money changing, right? He says, my house is a house of prayer for all the nations, right? And we see that this is all the way part of the covenant, and now we finally get to the manifestation of that here in the book of Acts. So let's close our eyes as we meditate on this. Let's think through for a second. Are you, as a follower of Jesus, a conduit of knowing Christ and letting others know Christ? Or are you a deterrent, or what the word that Jesus uses is, are you a stumbling block? How can you be a stumbling block? Right? By living an immoral life, by being a hypocrite, by sinning openly and privately as well. You know, are you raising up your hands on Sunday and worshiping God and living like the devil from Monday? Do we look and live just like the world? Do we spend money just like the world does? Are we immoral in our workplace like the world does? Are we immoral in our relationships? You know, sleeping with your girlfriends, living with your boyfriends. That's hypocrisy. In that, you are being a deterrent, a stumbling block. Right? This is the gospel. This is our responsibility of the gospel. That we do not create ourselves to be a deterrent or roadblock from people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask us to go before the Lord today and pray and say, God, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be a conduit. I want people to easily know Jesus the Christ through the way that I live my life, through my words and my deeds. And as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that and go before Jesus.
Deep and wide through the floor. grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Who His love will not remember? Who can cease to sing His praise? He can never be forgotten throughout His eternal.
Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray that truly that we would be conduits of that gospel, that we would be a blessing. God's blessed us, and that we would be a blessing. Let's go before the Lord. Just cover yourself, cover the church, your family, right, in the way that God's blessed us. Let's say, Lord, we just want to give back to you. Let's pray. Let's pray for our friends and family members that are going through illnesses and whatnot. Let's continue to lift up Belinda, and she successfully came out of her surgery, and she's out of the ICU now as well and back in the general ward, and just continue to pray for recovery. Let's continue to pray for Charles Hahn's dad and his cancer, and Krista's aunt who also has cancer, and part of that also is kind of struggling with the whole Christian, you know, that most of their family is Buddhist, and so you know, there's a bit of a family struggle there about, you know, about the faith and healing and whatnot. And so this can you lift up. Let's pray for Alex's dad and ask the Lord to continue to touch him and heal him as he's going through his treatments. And Janine, as she's going through chemotherapy, pray for Jeff and Janella's grandmother. In the last 3 weeks, they've had two grandparents pass away. And so let's just pray for comfort and grace upon them. Let's pray for Matthew's aunt, who's got cancer, for my aunt, who's got pancreatic cancer, Kian's mom, Charles Kim's niece. Pray for one of my old mentors, Alan Lunsford, who has a stroke and lives in Newport Beach. Pray for Misan's dad, they found a tumor in his body, and for Connie's aunt, Constance's aunt, who has cancer as well. Let's also lift up our friends looking for work. Pray for Mark Starnes, John Kang, Genevieve, Katharina, and Vivian. Let's ask the Lord's hand to be with them and to continue to open doors and give them favor with people. Let's lift up our friends here and just really intercede on their behalf. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up Pastor Oh and for New Life Church, Pastor Tang. Let's pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage and for Grace Chung and for Bloom. Let's pray for the Philippines and Solomon's Clinic and Elder Zhang and continue to lift up Bhutan. Let's ask the Lord to move in these countries and just be with our friends that are ministering. Give them encouragement, strength, focus, anointing. And let's just ask God to be with them. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's lift up the IP team. Lift up Matt as he leads and Cascade. Pray for Leanne and the Well Larry. Let's ask the Lord to continually use these ministries to bring healing to people emotionally, physically, spiritually. Pray for a real anointing to hear God's voice as they minister. And let's just cover all the members and the leaders. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay and McDaddy, McRobinson, Tregunter, and Waterfront. Let's just cover the leaders and cover the time. Let there be real anointing during the worship and the teaching, the welcome, and the work. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really build a strong community through each of these house churches. Lord, we just thank you. God, we love you so much, Lord. And we, God, want to be blessings, God, to people all around us, Lord. And we thank you, God, for the story of Peter and Cornelius, God, and the way in your heart to save everyone, Lord, and use us and help us and train us and teach us, God, and equip us, Lord, and anoint us, God, that we can, God, be like Peter, Lord, and share the message, God, with everyone that comes into our paths, Lord. We thank you, Father God. Just continue to watch over us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day. She had a nice announcement. If you guys know our friend Aaron, Reese had a baby yesterday. So little Ian Kim came into the world. And so if you can send him a note of congratulations, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. All right. Have a good prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.